Hello, everyone. Welcome to or welcome back to the Perfectly Imperfect podcast. I'm your host, Jenny Minnie, and thank you so much for tuning into this episode and spending some time with me today. Today's episode is actually inspired by one of you who posted a question in my Ask Jenny Google form. It really resonated with me so much to the point that I just want to make one whole episode about it. I do have an ongoing series called Ask Jenny, which I would actually love to get some feedback on because I'm a little unsure what you all think of those, like if you're interested in those. I think they're fun to do and I love reading your questions and feeling connected to you in that way. And the submission form is in the show notes of every single episode. So if you are ever looking for where that form is, you can find it in the show notes on Apple Podcasts and Spotify, also in the description of the videos on YouTube. And you can find it in the link in the podcast Instagram bio. So hopefully you can find it if you've been looking for the submission form. But also, I would love to hear some feedback on the Ask Jenny series. I think I've only done about three. I'm open, flexible, would love to hear your thoughts. And overall, I'm just so appreciative and grateful that you're here. So thank you again. I guess a disclaimer is also that this is all my opinions. I am no professional. I'm not a therapist. I'm not a recovery specialist. I'm not a coach. I'm not a professional in this realm or a mental health professional at all in any way. I'm purely just a 24-year-old girl who has dealt with and struggled and faced challenges with her own mental health. And I just want to speak on it. If something I say doesn't work for you, please don't do it. Don't feel that you have to make yourself do things just because I say that it works for me. Just wanted to start off with that disclaimer. Today's episode is sparked from a question, like I said, that was posted in my Ask Jenny Google form, which says, "Hi Jenny, love your content by the way. I've been fully recovered from my eating disorder for a year now, and I feel like my body is still in this quote fight or flight mode. It's so hard to adapt to life's decreased intensity as my brain is still full on. Do you have any tips to slow down your pace of life and readapt your body and mind to the new normal?" This question resonated with me so much because I feel like that has been such an integral and such an important part of my own recovery process from my eating disorder. That starting recovery, I didn't know was going to be such an important and crucial part. So one, it's amazing that you are at this place and you should be so incredibly proud of yourself that you're even thinking about slowing down and trying to find ways to get back in touch with yourself and in tune with your body in that way. I know for myself, my eating disorder fully destroyed that connection with myself. And so this shows that you're on the path to rebuilding that. And that is absolutely wonderful. I'm so happy for you. So I hope you give yourself a pat on the back because this is a huge win. Even though you say you're struggling and you need tips, it's still a huge win. Don't disregard that. So I've put together a list of six things that came to mind when I thought of how I've intentionally slowed down my pace of life, slowed down my brain, and slowed down my body when need to. I don't have all the answers, and it is still very much something I'm learning and discovering new things about all the time. And I catch myself overworking myself sometimes, overpushing myself, overthinking, overcomplicating. And I've caught myself very much being stuck in that fight or flight mode a lot of the time. And for me, that kind of manifests itself in like black and white thinking a lot of the time. I think I have to do one extreme or the other and that there's no option to do the middle. And that leaves me to feel like I need to make rash, quick decisions. It leaves me to think I need to kind of live in these extremes. I can only do one or the other. And it really is such a limiting mindset. That mindset is not the type of mindset that enables you to really live a full, fulfilling life. It has its purpose for sure. And biologically, I don't know the full science of the biology, but it's necessary. It's necessary for humans to have this fight or flight instinct to be able to act quickly in moments where it's needed and to be able to warn our body of potential danger. But in the new age of the world that we're in, we're not being chased by tigers and lions and bears anymore. our body doesn't know the difference between just day-to-day stresses and being chased by an animal. So I think once I kind of made that connection and made that realization that this isn't my body trying to punish me, or this isn't my body working against me, this is my body just doing its best with what it knows how to do. And my body was experiencing stress from my overworking, my overthinking, my anxiety, my undereating, and therefore my body reacted in the way that it knows how to react. And it was like, okay, something's wrong, we're facing danger, we're not getting the nutrients and the things that we need, so we're gonna switch into this fight or flight mode. Just really understanding that has really opened so many doors for me, for my mindsets to widen and open, and for me to catch myself when I'm in those black and white mindsets and be able to work my way through those and find the middle ground. And in turn, that means turning off that fight or flight mode part of my brain. But like everything, it's a work in progress. And I just wanted to share some things today that I found that have been helping me. So the first thing that came to mind when I started thinking about how I have intentionally started to slow down and really try to detach myself from that fight or flight mode thinking, first thing that came to mind is that I really now try to tune into my physical body when my mental state is racing and unclear and anxious and nervous and scared. Any way that you can connect with your physical body. So for example, for me, I definitely start with breathing. It's such a powerful tool, and I'm definitely still working on harnessing that tool and really making it work for myself. Believe me, I have moments where I'm anxious, I'm stuck in this all or nothing thinking, and I'm just like, okay, try to breathe, and I don't feel any better. Like, that happens to me so often. So you're not alone if you feel like, why do people just say breathe? It actually doesn't do anything. I definitely feel that sometimes, but I'm trying to work through that and trying to find a way, find a form of breathwork that really works for me. And sometimes it does, sometimes it doesn't. But I would say it's just always, always worth a try. I think why breathwork is so powerful is because it's directly connecting you to your physical body. As you breathe in, take in oxygen, that's fueling your body with what it needs to stay calm and work and function properly. When you're anxious, when you're scared, when your mind is racing, you might be taking really short, you know, not deep breaths at all, and your body might just not be getting the oxygen and the nutrients that it needs to be functioning well, and therefore that's kind of not helping the whole situation at all. So I really try to start with breathing, and sometimes I'll like put my hand on my chest, on my stomach, on some part of my body, just to try my best to kind of take the focus away from my spiraling thoughts and into my physical body and the physical sensations that I'm feeling. If that's not working at all, I then sometimes take it up another notch, and sometimes I will literally grab like ice cubes from the freezer and hold them. It's uncomfortable, it's cold in my hands, but the focus then again is coming away from my racing thoughts in my mind and into the coldness in my hands. Obviously, don't do it if it's like super, super painful, like don't hurt yourself, but it can be a really helpful tool just to kind of trigger your body to focus on that rather than the perceived danger that's in your life that may not actually be happening, but your brain is stuck in that fight or flight mode, so it's triggering that. Another thing, like the ice cubes, I haven't tried personally, but I've heard is you could get like ginger chews and you could chew on those, because ginger kind of is like shocks your mouth, it shocks your taste buds a little bit. Tapping as well, I've done that a little bit, haven't tried it too much, but you could just like lightly tap your shoulders, lightly tap your knees. And again, that's just the purpose of that is just to bring the focus to the tapping and to the sensations. And while you're doing this, really, really try to just focus on the sensations of your physical body. Ideally, what this practice will do is that as the focus is coming away from your mind and into whatever physical sensation you're feeling in your body, the mind will in turn slow down. Because as much as the mind and the body feel so disconnected, believe me, mind feels so disconnected majority of the time, they really are so interconnected. And I think that's sometimes really hard for me to like wrap my head around, because it'll feel literally like my brain and my thoughts, my anxiety is racing and running, and then my body is frozen and not moving and not doing anything. And I'm just like, well, how can these two be interconnected? But they really are. They're all part of your one wonderful body. Just trying to think about tuning into my physical sensations to then try to quiet the brain is something that's been really, really helping. Again, still a work in progress, and I'm still kind of mastering this for myself and finding what works for me. But I have had many times where it has helped so much just to either breathe or grab ice cubes or, you know, put a hand on my chest, put a hand on my stomach, like connect with my physical body in that way. And even just giving myself that time to sit like in stillness and just think about the sensations rather than the racing thoughts or whatever I'm anxious about in that moment. It doesn't make the anxious thoughts in the fight or flight mode fully disappear, but it helps it so, so much. And it kind of helps me enter into a more rational state of mind where I can make decisions and think about what my next move is going to be from a place of reality and with rationalism, if that makes sense. So the second tip I have is to be intentional about doing things slowly, even if it doesn't sound super fun or super comfortable. And you might be saying, well, why should I put myself through something that doesn't sound fun or sound comfortable? And to that, I would say growth happens in discomfort. The only way you're going to grow, the only way you're going to change, the only way you're going to get used to this quote new normal is if you start doing different things and if you start changing the way you move in your life and the way you do things in your life. And that has been a really big realization for myself, kind of going back to that quote of like, nothing changes if nothing changes. And I feel like that quote used to go over my head and I just was like, what does that even mean? Like, I don't know, I just didn't really, I got it, but I didn't really get it, you know what I mean? And now I feel like I get it. Like, truly nothing changes if nothing changes. If you're frustrated with certain aspects of your life or certain aspects of your journey or your habits or your mindsets, if you keep doing the same things that you've always been doing, it's going to be very, very difficult, if not impossible, to reach those new mindsets, reach those new habits, and reach the new relationship with yourself that you really are envisioning for yourself. If you don't change anything, if you don't start doing new things, which in turn can feel very uncomfortable, then that change and that growth is more likely not going to happen. But that's kind of another harsh reality that I've had to really just tell myself and had to accept, that if I keep doing what I'm doing and I keep staying where it's comfortable and I keep staying where I know and keep staying where feels clear and safe to me, you can get places, but you can get much farther if you push yourself outside of that. And I'm not talking also like about huge, crazy things. Like, I'm just literally talking about like reading a book outside in public. Like, that's not something personally, I don't find that like super fun. If anything, I find that a little anxiety inducing because my brain wants to be go, go, go all the time. That anxious part of me is like, you need to be working, you need to be finishing this project, you need to be socializing, you need to be making money, you need to be da, 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 da. So sitting and reading a book is literally the last thing my brain wants me to do. And I honestly really struggle with it. I try to read pages. I either am thinking about something else while I'm reading the page, and then I flip five pages and I realize I didn't read anything and I didn't digest the story and I don't know what's going on. So then I roll back the five pages and I try to reread it again. And that's just kind of how reading goes for me a lot of the time. But I know that pushing myself to put my phone down, pick up a book, go sit outside, go somewhere new, and intentionally slow down and intentionally not listen to those anxious, racing thoughts is what is going to help me grow and build new habits and build new mindsets and kind of help myself be able to detach from this survival mode that my body has been in for so long. So if you're similar to me and reading a book sounds kind of uncomfortable in a little way, maybe try pushing yourself to find a book that really resonates with you, that really sounds interesting to you, and try and just read like 5 pages. Like, I was setting the bar so low, just like read 5 pages, read half a chapter, get through something, and that was a win. Just sit somewhere, observe the world around you, do a fun like arts and crafts project that isn't accumulating to anything, any big goal. You're not making content about it, you're not sending it on your portfolio, you're not sending it to a competition, you're purely just sitting down with yourself and crafting something for the fun of it, and in really slowing your mind down in the process of doing that. I'm trying to think of some other examples. I mean, it could just be literally going on a walk, like no podcast, no phone call, just a walk with you and your thoughts. I feel like there are so many different things you could do that I'm not thinking about, but I hope you get where I'm going with this tip. My tip number 3 to slowing down and getting out of fight or flight mode is to put your phone down. This one, I know you've heard it so many times, and it's kind of, I don't know, cliche at this point, but it's just so true, and it really, really does help you just reconnect with yourself. I think social media, I think phones nowadays are such a wonderful tool to stay connected with people that you love, but it definitely has its downsides for sure. But I really do believe that there is a balance, and I think our fight or flight mode is really impacted when there's an imbalance with phone and social media usage, at least I guess in my perspective and in my lived experience. I feel like I'm most stuck in my all or nothing thinking when I'm scrolling the most, when I'm comparing the most, when I'm looking at what other people are doing so much and worrying about what this person's thinking and commenting and replying and responding. I feel like I get so stuck in those all or nothing thinking, and I really honestly just like lose touch with my own intuition when all of that is consuming my thoughts and my brain. But I found that the only way to reel back and pull back to connecting with my intuition and my own thoughts is to turn the phone away. Just putting it away, even if it's for a day, for an afternoon, for a week, for a month, like whatever you need to reconnect with yourself and reconnect with your own intuition and your own thoughts, take that time, because that's going to really, really help you in just slowing down and reconnecting with yourself. So my 4th point is very much personal to my experience with my eating disorder and my recovery and sort of how that has affected my fight or flight mode. So this may not apply, but I just wanted to put it in there if anyone has had a similar experience to me or similar experiences to me. This has been helping me a lot personally. For mini context, I was diagnosed with anorexia, a restrictive eating disorder, a few years ago, and have been in recovery for about, you know, over 4 years now. I'm feeling very, very confident in my recovery and finding joy in food again, finding joy in movement, finding balance with it. I think something that really helped me throughout my recovery and still to this day is the element of opposite action. This was something I really latched onto early on in my recovery, because my eating disorder was honestly the only kind of thought, the only voice that I heard in my brain for a very long time. I didn't hear any other opinions, and it was very, very difficult to make decisions and feel like I was taking the steps that I needed to in recovery, because all I could hear was this restrictive and this obsessive and compulsive like eating disorder brain or eating disorder voice in my brain. I really leaned into the practice of opposite action. Like whatever my eating disorder was telling me, I just did the opposite. And the more I did that, the more, sure, it made my eating disorder louder, but ultimately it was giving me space to find and discover what actually aligned with me instead of just blindly following what my eating disorder was telling me. And I think that very much ties into the element of slowing down and trying to step out of this fight or flight mode. I've gotten to this place where I'm able to still slow down and still remain in tune with myself because, in a way, sometimes I practice opposite action. If my anxious mind, if my fight or flight mind is telling me, you need to go outside and you need to go on a run, you need to go to the gym, you need to work really hard on this, you need to da 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 da. But my physical body, going back to the first point, tuning into the physical body. But then if in that moment my physical body is like, no, we're tired, we just want to lay down, we just want to rest, we just want to chill, watch a movie, like, we don't want to do any of that right now, then I tend to listen to the physical body, because I know that engaging with that anxious, fight or flight, obsessive mind is only going to make that stronger and stronger and stronger, and that's the piece that I want to pull back from and be able to be in the driver's seat of when and how I listen to that, rather than feeling like I'm kind of following blindly whatever this part of my brain is saying. I don't know if I explained that right, I hope it's making sense, but that's something that's really, really been helping me, just really trying to identify, okay, this thought is coming from fear, or this thought is coming from comparison, and this is why my brain is in this fight or flight mode right now, feeling anxious, feeling scared, it's telling me to do these big drastic things. Why don't I try the opposite thing, just to sort of jolt myself out of that in a way, and then, again, like the first point brings me back down to a more rational state of mind to then make better decisions and be able to feel calm and more confident in my next move. And in turn, that like kind of slows you down a lot more. My fifth tip for slowing down and tuning into your body is very, very important, and is something that has been, I mean, all of these things have been helping me, but this has been something like so incredibly crucial. And it's honestly the most recent thing that I have been implementing into trying to slow down and catch myself when I'm in these fight or flight modes. And so this point is to affirm yourself that slowness and stillness is okay. For so long, I just never validated. I never affirmed. I never told myself, it's okay to not do this. It's okay to skip the workout. It's okay to slow down. It's okay to not do as much as maybe you know you could, but you know that going that far would push you to burnout, would push you to stress, would push you to not getting enough sleep. And I've just never affirmed myself that those things are okay. It felt like that was a sign of, quote, weakness, or a sign of not working, quote, hard enough. All of that is made up by myself in some way, or maybe it's made by society at large. But just realizing that I have the power to redefine what quote unquote weakness is, or quote unquote laziness is, or quote unquote hardworking is, I and you have the power to define what that is in our lives, and we don't need to succumb to whatever society defines that as, whatever your mom, your dad, your friend, your sister, your brother, your grandma, like whoever else in your life is trying to place definitions of what those things are on you. For me, this has been absolutely game-changing, just to realize that I have the power to define what these things mean to me, and what moving fast and what slowing down means to me. It's gonna look different for every single person, and I feel like for a lot of my life, I've been seeking external validation to define what is, I guess, quote, like, good and bad, or right or wrong when it comes to slowing down. But that comparison and that external validation is never going to fulfill you and enable you to find and feel secure in what those things actually mean to you. It's always going to feel empty. It's always going to feel not enough. It's always going to feel like there's just a piece missing of why it's not aligning. But the second you detach from that external validation and look inwards and ask yourself, what does slowness mean to me? And how can I allow myself to slow down right now? And just validate for yourself that it's okay to shut the laptop, stop working, it's okay to skip the workout, it's okay to enjoy the dessert, it's okay to say no to your friends, but equally, it's okay to work that extra hour if you're really in a flow, or maybe you have a crunch deadline with work and you just really have to get things done. This isn't to discredit and, you know, put aside the fact that sometimes there are just things in life that have to get done, and it might not align fully with how you want to get back in touch with your slowness, but there's room for all of that in life. And I feel like that's something I'm really working on and discovering for myself is that, like everything, it doesn't have to be all black or white, all or nothing. Just because you're working on tuning into your slowness doesn't mean that there isn't room for busy days and crunch deadlines that you have to do a lot. Or if you have a project that you're working on that you really, really love and you want to spend time after work on that and you end up working a lot in one day, that doesn't mean you're fully discrediting your desire and your want to reconnect with yourself and find slowness within yourself. It's just all a balance, and it's all about remaining aware and feeling empowered in the decisions that you make. And I feel like to get there, you really need to validate and affirm yourself, and you need to stop seeking that from external sources. So then moving on to my last point, my sixth point for today's episode of how I have worked to slow down and reconnect with myself and move beyond this fight or flight mode is to switch up my environment and my routine periodically. And I feel like I'm doing that exactly right now. I am recording from Paris, where I'm staying for the next 6 weeks, and then I'm going to be in London after Paris for a little bit. I feel like for me, I found that switching up my routine has helped me slow down and reconnect with myself, like, immensely. I was thinking the other day, like, why is this something that has helped me reconnect with myself so much? And I realized this kind of goes back to the point that I was saying, like, nothing changes if nothing changes. If you're in the same routine, you're on the same commute, you're doing the same activities, you're eating the same food, you're seeing the same people, and life is just pretty consistent, that isn't a bad thing. That's not what I'm saying. That is a wonderful thing. And I think life can be so full of joy, even if things do look the same and pretty similar every single day. But I find that in that routine, it can be a little bit more difficult to push yourself outside into new experiences and doing new things, just because it isn't really coming up in your life as authentically as when you intentionally go somewhere else or take a big shift in your routine in some way. Also, this is not me saying you need to up and buy a plane ticket and travel super far. You can do this intentionally within that routine of not a lot of change as well. For me, just changing my environment and changing the people that are around me, the different perspectives and the different conversations that I'm having, and all of that is just giving me new chances to really assess how each of these changes makes me feel, and in turn is really helping me tune into myself and just slow down overall. For example, I am not working out much here, honestly. I've been going to a few Pilates classes, but honestly, my days are quite busy with a morning French class, and then I come home and I do work, and I try to maybe fit like a sightseeing thing in Paris, or, you know, going to explore a new part of the city in between those things. My physical routine is very different, very, very different. And I'm really, really enjoying this switch of routine, but I'm not gonna lie, I'm gonna be completely honest with you all, that anxious part of my brain has come up a few times of like, oh my God, like something's gonna happen to your body, something bad is gonna happen because you aren't working out the same way, you're not eating the same way, you're not doing the same things. And that is that fearful, anxious, fight or flight mode I know that's kicking in because I'm experiencing change. I'm experiencing some anxiety, some unknown elements of life right now. My body is just recognizing that as like, okay, we need to warn her about something, so we're gonna flip into this part of her brain, but there's nothing wrong right now, and everything's going to be okay. And I've just been trying to approach myself in that way when that comes up of like, hey, brain, it's actually fine, and we're just in a new experience, and I'm allowed to slow down, I'm allowed to do things differently. You don't need to warn me anymore. For me, I find traveling and sort of literally removing myself from my typical environment into a new environment so, so helpful, but that's not the only way to do that. You could take weekend trips somewhere nearby. You could go to explore a new area of where you live. You could maybe switch up your workout classes. You could challenge yourself to go to a new club or a new event or some sort of space that you can meet new people and have new conversations. You could try a new restaurant, like any little thing that can just bring a new perspective, a new energy into your life, I feel like is so, so crucial. And it has been so crucial for me just to allow myself to experience more of the world, but also get more in tune with myself and give myself the space to really ask and affirm and validate how I'm feeling. And in turn, that helps me just slow down. So just to give a quick recap on my 6 points that have helped me slow down and get more in tune with my body and kind of get out of that fight or flight mode. One is to get in touch with your physical body and do things to really sync up the sympathetic nervous system, which is your mind and that fight or flight mode, with the parasympathetic nervous system, which is the body and the rest and digest nervous systems. So finding ways to physically sort of jolt yourself out of your mind and more into your body is really, really helpful. Number two is being intentional about doing things slowly, even if it doesn't sound super fun or comfortable. Going back to the point of nothing changes, if nothing changes, you have to do new things, put yourself outside your comfort zone, and then you will experience growth. Number three is to put your phone away, cut out the comparison, cut out the scrolling, and that'll really, really help you slow down. Number four is maybe try opposite action if that's something that would be helpful for you and help you tune back into your intuition and your intuitive self. Number five is to affirm yourself and validate for yourself that slowness and stillness is okay. And number six is to switch up your routine, switch up your environment in any way that's possible for you. Thank you so much for listening and being here with me today. I honestly loved chatting through this. It's honestly been helpful for me as well to just sort of categorize and write out what has been working for me, because I think, like I said, I don't have all the answers and I definitely still struggle with this at times, but I think that writing this down and kind of giving myself a place to refer back to when I'm noticing that I'm stuck in my all or nothing thinking, my fight or flight mindset, my anxious mind, having something that I can open like on my notes app and read through is really, really helpful. And I probably am going to use this, but I also have other notes apps full of like the physical sensations, like the ice holding and the ginger chews, like all those types of things that it's kind of a toolbox of things that I can go towards when I feel like I'm stuck in that all or nothing thinking. So I guess that's a bonus point seven that you could try writing down a few things that, you know, really help you ground yourself and slow down. Definitely put breath work on there. So yeah, thank you again. And thank you to the person who submitted this question in the submissions form. I really appreciate you being vulnerable and being willing to open up and share this with me so that I can hopefully help you and respond to you, but also to anyone else if this resonated with you. Like I said at the beginning, the submission form is in the show notes down below or in the description down below if you're watching on YouTube. And you can follow the podcast on Instagram at perfectlyimperfect.pod. You can follow me on Instagram at jenny.mini. There's the podcast YouTube, and then there's my personal YouTube at jennymini. So appreciative of your support, and I'll catch you in the next episode.
With the Redfin app, you'll know the moment your next place hits the market. Whether you're looking to buy your dream home or rent a sweet apartment, give Redfin your gotta-have-it wish list of property features, and you'll receive real-time notifications tailored just for you. Ready to see it up close and personal? Scheduling a tour is just a tap away. Don't wait to find your perfect match. Download the Redfin app and start searching today.
Tired of trying diet after diet without results? Mochi Health offers a long-term weight loss solution personalized to your needs. Our board-certified obesity doctors and registered dietitians provide expert guidance to help you succeed. Eligible patients can access custom-formulated GLP-1 medication at an affordable set price delivered monthly. Take our free quiz at joinmochi.com and use code AUDIO40 for $40 off your first month. That's joinmochi.com.